Introduce yourself.
Okay, well, my name is Mary Bull. I'm the international coordinator of the Save the Redwoods Boycott the Gap campaign. I'm the co-director of Greenwood Earth Alliance. We have a campaign going to expose phony green labels, starting with the Forest Stewardship Council.
You're volunteers.
We're all volunteer. Our organization has 2,000 activists and organizers around the world. At our last International Day of Action Against the Gap, we had 200 actions around the world. We're here with our 5-foot-in-diameter redwood stumps here at UN World Environment Day kickoff opening ceremony. We have redwood trees dancing on top of this stump. We're using it as a stage. The stump was cut down by the Fisher family of the Gap over the protests of local people because it's almost 200 years old, this stump. And trees like this are very rare in Mendocino County because people like the Fishers of the Gap are logging the last merchantable timber from those forests, from our beloved, sacred redwood forests, 130 million years in the making. They're only here in California. They are being extinguished, as I speak to you, by people like the Fishers of the Gap. That's why we say boycott Gap, Old Navy, and Banana Republic. We've had many lawsuits, environmental lawsuits. They do no good. We've done public comment at the state agency. That's a federal agency. It does no good. All of them are politically motivated, and big money talks. Big Tim gave Gray Davis $2.5 million. He was not about to enforce environmental law in California. And I'll tell you something. Arnie certainly isn't either. And Donald Fisher, chairman of the board of the Gap, is the biggest contributor to Arnold Schwarzenegger at $150,000, the biggest individual donor. He's promoting all of those right-wing policies that all of the unions are up in arms about and all of Californians are up in arms about. So what I'm going to turn you over to the co-director of Greenwood Earth Alliance to tell you more about our campaign against phony, lying green labels like the Forest Stewardship Council, why that is so, why consumers have simply got to break with our forest consumption habits. Just like we have to kick our addiction to fossil fuels, we have to kick our addiction to natural forest wood products because there is a world forest crisis. 80% of it is gone or going, and we cannot keep consuming wood. Wood from natural forests. We can consume wood that's recycled. We can consume wood that's been cultivated on traditional agricultural land. But we cannot consume wood from watersheds anymore. The depletion of the forest has created a world water crisis, has contributed significantly to global warming, has created floods and famines throughout the world. People do not realize that forests are integral to health on this planet, to very survival. People don't get it. They think, oh, Shizu, oh, species die. So what? Well, let me tell you, we're going to be the next species to die if we don't wake up and smell the coffee. I'm going to introduce you to Mary Perot, awesome activist from Mendocino County, who's going to tell you why these green labels lie, what it's all about, the secrets, the dirty secrets behind the Forest Stewardship Council. And as I say, everyone's dancing. We have dancing redwoods. We are family. We are family. All the animals, flowers, and trees. Here's Mary Perot.
Hi, this is Mary Perot. I can barely hear you. Can you speak louder?
Oh, you're live on the...
Am I live?
You're live on the radio.
Okay, my name is Mary Perot. I'm a Mendocino Forest activist. I've been trying to save Mendocino's very overlogged redwood forest for 15 years. What I saw happen with the Forest Stewardship Council, you know, when we first heard about it, we thought it might be a good thing to get a private certification for loggers. But what they did was they came up to Mendocino and they undermined our efforts to get timber industry accountability. We wanted the timber industry to have public to state yield plans and to do cumulative effect assessments. Well, the Forest Stewardship Council came in, certified these people doing a vast clear cutting and pesticide use and undermine all our efforts, and in addition are destroying the forest. The Mendocino Rebbe Company, which is the investment of the Fisher family at the Gap, is responsible for two-thirds of the pesticide use in Mendocino County, which they use in their forests to suppress unwanted native species. And so that's how I found out about it. And now let me apprise you of a current situation, which is that Precious Woods Amazon, which is a Swiss-German investment firm in logging in the Amazon, has come to the city of San Francisco and is lobbying for the city of San Francisco to weaken its ban on tropical hardwoods. San Francisco, in its great wisdom, passed a ban against using tropical hardwoods because one-fifth of the Amazon is gone. And now this Forest Stewardship Council is coming forward, and Precious Woods Amazon, which is certified by the Forest Stewardship Council, to say that they should have an exemption from this ban. They're lobbying the Department of the Environment. And what Precious Woods Amazon is doing in the Amazon is entering virgin forests, unentered forests, targeting the oldest trees, putting in a whole new permanent road system, and pushing the local economy to more logging, which is the opposite of what's needed. So that's what the Forest Stewardship Council certification has ended up doing, promoting logging instead of helping people find alternatives to forest products. Y'all there?
Oh, we're still here. Are you doing an interview with us, or are you also doing the press conference?
The trees are dancing. Other people are being interviewed by various press people, and I'm just here for you to answer questions and tell you what we're doing.
Oh, well, we're honored. That's great. Let's see. As I did the lead-in to this to you, we had discussed the.
I was listening to some of that.
Oh, sure. We had discussed the totality of what was going on. So just cutting
it's
down.
It's a huge event.
Oh, yeah. But the totality of just cutting down redwoods leads to clear cutting the entire land, which dumps soil down into the rivers, which makes it so that the water is not drinkable for any of the animals. If I remember right, the Fisher family owns a company that then takes diesel fuel and spreads it all over the fresh cut down stumps and makes it so that...
Well, I haven't heard about their diesel fuel, but I do know about Arsenal and the really bad pesticides they're using.
Right, yeah. And so they're essentially poisoning all of the land that they've just freshly cut down. So you have the few animals that remain without any shade are then stuck with pesticide food that they have to eat. They go down to the river. They're drinking muddy water.
Right, pesticides have a long life in the forest and remain in the water system, and they can interfere with spawning. They can do all kinds of damage. And how a company that is using pesticides in this way can possibly be called green, or anyone could give them a green label, explains to you our problem with the Forest Stewardship Council, because that's just what they did. They came in and said it's okay to clear cut, and this company has increased its clear cutting 200% under its Forest Stewardship Council certification, and it's okay to, you know, be the biggest pesticide user in Mendocino County.
And
so
tell us,
this is mind-boggling. This is a green. This is our best green label. Come on.
And how many acres do they own up there?
235,000. They own a fifth of the forest land in Mendocino County.
So that's almost a quarter of a million acres. And
yeah, it was former Louisiana Pacific Holdings, and of course Louisiana Pacific raked them over as well.
Right.
So we're talking about very highly impacted forests.
Right. And so when you clear cut the land, you poison the land, then you ruin the water, you set it up so that virtually all of the other...
The result is that we're losing species right now. You know, we've had 30 years of impact of overlogging up there, and then this is in addition to that. We've almost lost the coho salmon. About 5 years ago, they found 10 juvenile coho salmon in a local creek. And, you know, they're very impacted by the mud that logging creates that comes down the creek. It interferes with their spawning. This is a very endangered species. And in this creek area, where they found only 10, there used to be tens of thousands, they have 30 logging plants, 30 new logging plants, the Mendocino Redwood Company. Actually, more than 30. And most of them are clear-cutting of one kind or another. Now, is this way, the way to treat a creek that still has a few coho salmon in it, one of the few?
Right.
But very low numbers?
Now, you, I'm not sure if you've seen, about a month or so ago, the Contra Costa Times did a massive front page article about the massive die-offs of cephalopods down in the upper delta area leading out of the San Francisco Bay, and that we've also had a massive fish die-off. I believe one number was 62,000 of one fish.
Well,
I'm
more familiar with the details of the salmon problem up in Mendocino County, because the salmon are, you know, they migrate up into freshwater creeks for
right.
spawning. They go live in the ocean for a couple of years, and they come back to their native creek and spawn. That creates the next generation.
Right.
I'm
but,
sort of familiar of the interface between the overfishing in the ocean and ruination of habitat by logging and other practices, which affects the salmon both in the ocean and in freshwater creeks and rivers. There are indeed, I don't have a lot of details on this, but there are serious, very worrisome die-offs of fish all over the world. There are whole fisheries that we have lost.
Right, and this massive die-off can lead to a human ruination if you essentially poison the agricultural land and then you poison the fishing land. There's no fallback when your food sources have died out. So this is bad agricultural planning, it's bad economic planning, and it's bad self-preservation. So there, are you getting much good response from, for example, I understand there's going to be a meeting of the mayors coming up on Saturday afternoon down at the... And are you getting much good response? Are many of the city?
Well, we're going to be meeting with local officials today at the Presidio fairly soon at the World Cafe.
Okay.
We're going to have a chance to talk to local officials. And then we're going to have a presence too on Saturday. But
what?
You know, they're not hearing what we have to do is strengthen people at the local level. One of the things that got me motivated to be here today was that this company, Precious Woods Amazon, that is certified by the Forest Stewardship Council to log virgin redwoods, is up here in San Francisco lobbying our city to weaken its ban on tropical hardwoods at a time when the ban should be strengthened, and all local laws should be strengthened right now with what's happening nationally, and educating people on what the alternatives are. So it's very, very important for people to be aware that what protections we're going to have and what alternatives we're going to have in developing a different way to live is going to have to be done locally, cities, counties, and states. Why this meeting is important, because, you know, there's local officials here from all around the world.
That's right. And we, some years ago, I was involved with Food Not Bombs, and we had a great many homeless people who were looking for any chance to work on some good project, and so we helped get them involved with the Redwood Summer and the forest activism, and you know, we certainly helped flood you know, a lot of good working anxious people who were interested in doing society some good. Do you have a way for people to get involved currently? I mean, certainly we can keep people local and
we're supporting a Gap boycott.
All right, good.
We boycott Old Navy and Banana Republic stores for two reasons. The founders and major investors in Gap, the Fisher family, are destroying redwood forests in Mendocino County. Reason number two, the Gap itself is using sweatshop labor around the world, where workers are paid a pittance in wages to manufacture Gap clothing, and where they have no human rights. And people have been agitating about this for a long time. The Gap has done some cosmetic things. I don't see any genuine effort on their part to fix the situation or to recompense the people who've been exploited. They have sweatshops in Cambodia, in Saipan, in Mexico, all over the world, trying to avoid paying real wages for the manufacture of their clothing. And third, I guess, is that Donald Fisher is a right-wing donor. He's donating to Schwarzenegger, and he donates to all kinds of right-wing causes. And if you want to support that, buy Gap clothes.
Well, and if you don't want to support that, say, for example, if we had some homeless people who were interested in spare changing out in front of the Old Navy and the Gap stores, and they carried a sign saying boycott Gap and boycott Old Navy and set it
to, fabulous.
And they sat down right next to the front door, they might get run off if they didn't have a sign like that. But if they did have a sign like that, they could claim that it was a First Amendment right.
Want to do anything phony, but if they are genuinely interested, I'd be glad to give them some little quarter piece chargers we have to hand out to people.
Well, that yeah, exactly. That's a really strong point.
Probably know more than anybody what the impacts of corporate destruction of the environment are, the kind of environments corporations have created, and the kind of natural resources they are destroying around the world hit the poorest people the most.
Well, they're creating the poorest people. In other words,
yeah.
It's bad economics all the way around. As soon as they cut down those trees, say, for example, can you give an idea of some of the products that they're making from these redwood trees? Are they making products that are going to last for 500 years, or are they just making cheap lawn furniture that a fat man...
They can't even lawn furniture. Fence posts, maybe. The lumber that they are seeing now is a very faded type of wood. Called yellow redwood. We used to have trees of 15 to 20 feet diameter with extremely tight rings that was some of the best wood in the world. It was disease resistant, it was pest resistant, fire resistant, and it rebuilt San Francisco after the San Francisco earthquake and fire. Really gorgeous wood, and they've taken it all. So now they're growing little tiny trees that grow too fast because they get too much sun and water and that are very weak. Weak lumber. Ask any builder whether he can use redwood anymore for building. It's extremely tragic. Very sad.
So their reforestation plan is a lie for a number of different reasons. They can't just go out there and put up shoulder to shoulder many, many tiny trees because, as you say, they're going to grow too fast.
I would be all for that if they were doing it to convert bagland back to forest. But they're not. They're basically creating a tree farm. And, you know, a redwood forest is a complex ancient forest system. It cannot be run as a tree farm. Redwood trees have shallow roots and incredibly 300-foot tall, 20-foot diameter tree does not have a tap root. And the reason is they connect all of their roots with each other and create a forest ecosystem under the ground to hold each other up.
All right, and
they log it. They ignore that. They break it all up, and then stick little trees in the ground. You know, it's just so it's so not the ecosystem that was there. And meanwhile, you know, they've killed off the marble murrelet and the spotted owl and the coho salmon and the trout. So it's no longer an ecosystem that evolved over time. It's a tree farm when they replant.
So
redwood also is incredibly resilient in terms of, you know, trees sprout from the roots.
Well, so we were talking about the economy. So basically they're taking a finely tuned ecosystem, demolishing it, and then destroying every part of the ecology that's associated with it.
Right.
And say, for example, the water system, the fishing, the tourism, the animal life, even, you know, it's gross to think about hunting as an industry, but places like Mendocino and Humboldt County and many
There's
of the...
There's a lot of fishers and hunting people who are you know, for saving the environment, because they can see what's happening.
Well, that's right. And that said, when you get down to 10 coho in a stream that used to hold tens of thousands,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden the fishing sport industry, many of these people, when I was in Colorado 15 years ago, the average hunter would spend $2,500 per permit. You know, in associated hotels and gasoline and car expenses and whatnot. So if you're losing that amount of fishermen per year, you're losing that amount of hunters per year, all of the associated economy falls apart, and then you end up with higher and higher unemployment just for the cheap return of cutting down a quarter of a million acres, for
what we've allowed to have. And then you see, you know, corporations like Louisiana Pacific and MRC rake the place over in 30 years' time, take all the profits, and leave everybody unemployed and with no fish and birds anymore.
Right.
And so that's the problem we have to address, you know, is the out-of-control corporate profit motive that's driving the destruction of our resources.
Right, and this leads straight back to the corporate crimes that are going on in the Security Exchange Commission. They do not look at any sort of social responsibility as civic good. They look at it as a loss, as a hindrance to their ability to acquire. And so it's a great.
Many do. I think there are a lot of investors who would like to invest green and invest in good human rights policies. And there are, you know, some organized things to do that.
Well, I agree. There are many, many, many individuals, but
the biggest corporations, you know, the global, especially the global monsters that have their fingers in everything, are the culprits, and we don't really have national control of them anymore.
Well,
they're international global powers.
Yeah, even today, George Bush has appointed to be the head of the Security Exchange Commission, former representative from Southern California, I believe it's Chris Cox, and this guy has accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars from the very corporations and securities companies that he's supposed to be regulating. Hundreds of thousands,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, Bush is sending us very fast back into the wrong direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And
on
so
on every front on the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I was leading up to.
Tragic, too, because I think the American people would be very responsive to leadership that told them we must use alternative fuels and we must find alternatives to polluting and earth-destroying products.
Well, that's right.
American people are generous, creative people who would respond to leadership that led them in the right direction.
That's right.
And that's the tragic loss that we've had, having a president like this.
Yeah, I don't want to get sidetracked on the motivations of that man and the skull and bones types that are behind
just
him.
Just think of what a good president could be doing right now.
That's right. Let's think positively. Well, that said, are there alternatives? Say, for example, you know, you've got something like less than a quarter of a million acres up there that are clear cut and essentially being poisoned at a rapid rate.
They're liquidating finally. This is the final liquidation, and I think they probably have development in mind.
It's right.
Real estate speculation. Because, you know, there's no timber left. They've closed all the coastal mills. The Georgia Pacific Mill and the old LP mill on the coast are gone.
Right.
They were there for many decades. Well,
so,
now the timber's gone, and they've closed the mills.
So they're going to have brochures showing redwooded hills that you can put your house on, but they're going to be old photographs, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I like people to know, I know a lot of people in the Bay Area visit Mendocino. When you come up to Mendocino on Highway 128, you know, you take that turn off from 101 and go over to the coast, you come through a very beautiful redwood forest with trees that are, you know, they're 10 to 12 feet in diameter, about 500 years old. It's a Save the Redwoods preserve, but it's only about 50 yards wide. So people go through that awesome, awesome forest. With these are just actually young trees, but they're very big and they shade things beautifully and they look beautiful. And they get, and they're very impressed to be in Redwood Country. They don't realize that most of Mendocino County has been raked over by the corporations and that those kind of trees no longer exist to them mostly. So people should know that when they come up to visit.
They've
been given an illusion.
Yeah. That said, I'm just wondering, for example, you had mentioned that there are massive amounts of pesticides that are being dumped up there. Have there been any efforts to work with or protest or expose those products? There have to be distributors up there that are sending this stuff out to be sprayed in Mendocino. What's being done regarding the people who are distributing this pesticides?
Nothing that I know of. We tried to get the company to stop doing it, and we did everything we could. And the Forest Stewardship Council came in and undermined us and permitted them to continue using pesticides and gave the, you know, Department of Forestry and state agencies an excuse to look the other way, which they didn't need a whole lot of.
Right. Tell us more about this forest stewardship.
I don't know about the sources. You know, we're going to have to figure that one out because they're doing real harm with pesticides.
Yeah, yeah. How about, tell us more about the Forest Stewardship Council.
Forest Stewardship Council is a global organization. It was started with good motives. With nonprofit environmental groups, human rights groups, and small timber owners. It quickly got co-opted by the timber industry, and now the environmental and human rights concerns are being marginalized, and big timber's taking it over. And the reason this happened is that there is so much feeling around the world, especially sort of the bigger markets of Europe, against buying wood from forests being destroyed. And so the timber industry, being no fool, wants to have a green label that is credible. And so, but in 1999, under pressure from the World Bank, the World Wildlife Fund, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers, who used their funding as a weapon, pushed the Forest Stewardship Council to write a strategic plan in secret from their own members, to greatly accelerate the certification of industrial logging around the globe. And that's what we're seeing the results of. They certified J.D. Irving Limited in Maine and Canada, over 1.5 million acres of forest, extensive clear cutting, extensive pesticide use. They did such bad certifications in Indonesia that 140 Indonesian and environmental and human rights groups asked them, the FSC, to stop all certifications because of illegal logging and impacts on indigenous communities and other problems.
So is it
the Sierra Club of Canada and the Sierra Club of Maine tried to fight the certification of J.D. Irving Company. The FSC was completely unresponsive to their concerns and certified them anyway. And we had the same scene in Mendocino. All Mendocino County environmental groups opposed the certification of MRC by the FSC. They did it anyway. The Mendocino Environmental Center, the Willis Environmental Center, the Redwood Coast Watersheds Alliance, the Greenwood Watershed Association and all of the watershed groups and the Elk County Water District, everybody opposed certification because we knew they were clear-cutting and using pesticides. They completely ignored us. They would give us no information whatsoever, and they went ahead and certified them anyway. So, you know, you're just dealing with another corporate type of entity. To hell with them.
Tell me,
are
they essentially something that was created by GATT or NAFTA or one of these organizations, or were they created as a nonprofit? How is it that all of the...
They are a nonprofit, but they use private consultants who are paid by the timber company to do the certification.
Right, but in other words...
I mean, that isn't a conflict of interest.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that said, it would seem to me that centralization is generally a dangerous thing. So this nonprofit has essentially centralized the ability to forest. Yeah, to
control them at all. Yeah.
Yeah, to control logging around the world. That's a very dangerous thing, and it seems like it would be right in line with something that that GATT or NAFTA or the, you know, this effort at WTO.
Well, the World Bank was involved in pressuring the FSC to expand its certifications of large industrial logging holdings. The World Bank, in cahoots with the World Wildlife Fund, and those funders I mentioned. Were the ones who put the pressure on the FSC because, you know, they too, they wanted to expand trade.
Okay.
I wanted to have an answer to anybody who said, oh, they're ruining the forest in the Amazon or Indonesia. They wanted to say, well, you know, here's this label. Well, the trouble is the label is full of baloney.
Right.
I can see.
Right, it's bait and switch. They come in with good people, then they kick those good people off the board, or they stack the board with twice as many bad people.
Just outvoted the environmental groups on having another timber industry rep on the board.
Okay.
That's what they're doing with the FSC.
Right, so it's essentially a program to loot the world. Now, that said, you know, obviously these people are mad, you know, insane, so... Is there, there's got to be a way to, whether done by the, secretaries of state in the various states, you know, the 50 states of the United States, or of the business license, the secretary of state handles nonprofit, you know, the authenticity of a nonprofit doing business within their state. Has there been an effort to, decertify the forest certificate, FSC, forest, what does FSC stand for again?
Stewardship Council,
right. Yeah, to pull their nonprofit status in California, or to pull their nonprofit status in Oregon or Washington or any of the other 50 states.
There hasn't been in California that I know of, but, and I don't know about other places. They're a large international and complex organization in the sense of the kinds of things they get involved in. They get involved with the government of Canada on certification processes there. And they use private certifiers here. So it's a complex situation, and you'd have to look at the different kinds of legal handles you might have. I certainly think they can be accused of false advertising.
Well, that's...
They very carefully don't say this is a green label. They say these are wood products that come from well-managed forests. But then they put their stamp on the lumber, and people think it's a green label. You know, they're being able to put a green label on stuff that's been in forests that were clear-cut and pesticide used, implying that it's a green label, but not exactly saying that.
Right, but when the logging...
It's honest.
Yeah, I hear a hellish beeping behind you. I guess it just stopped.
The San Francisco Police Department, I don't know what they're doing.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let us know if it gets grievous and we'll be able to put out an alert. But in any case, when the logging permits are requested, it sounds like this stewardship council has some sort of authenticity that they give to these various logging permits. And
exactly.
And if they're given more credence than genuine scientists and people who have got degrees in forest management, then there is definitely some fraud involved in this.
They do, you know, they have a lot of foresters involved and this and that. I mean, they put a good face on it.
Yeah. Well, as you may know,
controls are very poor, and that's the problem. For instance, you know, the certifying consultants being paid directly by the timber company and competing for big timber business. You don't have to do it that way, though. All the money should go into a fund with the FSC, you know, and people are paid out of that. But they set up a conflict of interest, which they were unable to change then.
Right. Well, that's just what I'm leading up to. Has anyone done tracking so that we can yank this their permit to do business in California or any of the other states? So if, for example, you can track that they have these conflicts of interest, that these people have been grants, given speech honorariums of large amounts of money, given...
I understand where you're going. I think that it's definitely worth looking into. I think it's wrong for people to be fooled by this label. I think it's wrong for people to think that they're getting wood that has been sustainably logged. And that's what they think when they see the FSC label.
Right.
That's what the buyers think. Home Depot and the outfits that purchased this wood. And then they use, you know, all of the consumer desires and all of the protests about logging to sell this wood, and it's not really solving the problem. It's not really answering the problem. It's falsely presenting itself as if it were. And so I think you're right. You know, I think that should be looked into and a number of other things.
Sure. Well, these...
I think it's really objectionable that the Forest Stewardship Council label is on timber harvest plans that are being filed with the California Department of Forestry. You know, without any explanation of who they are or what they are saying.
Yeah, if you pay attention to the neocons, they're notorious for giving themselves fake credentials. Someone may be the executive director of or the senior scientist or the senior,
yeah, right.
and they give themselves fake credentials. And then, as you probably are also well aware, Vice President Cheney's wife, Lynn Cheney, is actively trying to remove the credentials from a variety of different professors all across America's colleges. So they're doing a double whammy.
She's trying to remove professors. Well, it doesn't surprise me. You know, they have degraded the quality of thought, information, and action throughout the government. They've, you know, squeezed out and fired anybody, people in the government who are trying to do their job correctly. I remember when they first went into Iraq, they used the litmus test of loyalty to the president for the people they took in to set up, you know, new government in Iraq and deal with the local people. Well, a lot of those people don't speak Arabic. They didn't want anybody who had any sympathy with the Arabs. So they sent in a bunch of novices from the State Department and so on because they were, you know, loyal to Bush. That was the criteria. And no wonder Iraq is a disaster area today.
Well, it's
kind
a
of thinking they have that they don't believe in science, they don't believe in quality thought, they don't believe in wisdom, they don't believe in honesty and truth. They don't believe in democracy.
Yep. They're nihilists and saboteurs. That's pretty much the way
to
look at it.
You know, I'm afraid that it's comes from the corporate, the what I call predatory capitalism. I'm not against capitalism per se. I think trade and business are human traits, you know, and there's a lot of healthy stuff with regard to trade. But predatory capitalism is a menace.
Oh yeah, it's just sharks eating everything and leaving nothing behind. So it's a madness, and obviously it's got to stop. You know, as you mentioned, the, you know, views on capitalism, obviously the business world, Thomas Jefferson in his second inaugural talked about the business model in America should be based on agriculture with commerce as its handmaiden. And that said, his precept was that you have to allow Mother Nature to have first rights, and then business can be second to Mother Nature. But when you allow capitalism, or you allow business to demand more than Mother Nature can give, you're driving yourself into suicide. And so,
right.
Yeah, that's where we
have these conglomerates, which, you know, control the news, control the products, control the oil, control the military-industrial complex. Conglomerates that are really global entities with countries unto themselves and have no conscience. They just want more and more power and more money.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to give some – it sounds like you've got music just getting ready in the background. Do you want to give some contact information before we get drowned out?
Contact number for Greenwood Earth Alliance. This is environmental group that's working on urban-rural issues in Mendocino, urban-rural environmental and racial justice issues in Mendocino and San Francisco and Northern California. Number is 415-731-7924.
Okay, 731-7924.
Right.
And that was...
Greenwood Earth Alliance.
Okay.
And then another good organization, if people want to know about the Forest Stewardship Council, they should go to the Rainforest Foundation. They should do a Google search on Rainforest Foundation. There's Rainforest Foundation UK, Rainforest Foundation US, Rainforest Foundation Norway, and so on. And they put together a fabulous report called Trading in Credibility, The Myth and Reality of the Forest Stewardship Council. That's Trading in Credibility, The Myth and Reality of the Forest Stewardship Council by the Rainforest Foundation. You can find that by Google. Great report on the FSC.
Well, that's great.
If you want to know about MRC, they should go to www.gapsucks.org.
Well, that's an appropriate name.
Lots of info there on MRC logging and the Gap boycott.
Hey, we sure appreciate your call. And one other thing I happen to think of, are you familiar with Moscone,
yeah.
Moscone Center here in San Francisco?
I didn't hear your question. What?
Do you know Moscone Center in
yes.
San Francisco?
Yes.
Right now, there is a huge convention down there of hardware. It's the
hardware?
Yeah, the hardware and construction industry. It's the hardware and construction industry convention. We'll talk off the air. I'll call you right back and I'll give you the information. But there's a big conference or a big convention on the hardware industry.
Why don't you call the 415 number and put it on the message machine?
All right, we'll do it.
Okay, tonight.
Yeah, it would seem like it would be inappropriate if you're the fraudulence
right.
of
the. That's who needs to be pressured is the builders and the buyers.
That's right, and they've got their convention going on right now at Moscone.
Right now.
Right now, and it'll be going till tomorrow afternoon at 3.
Oh, gee. Well, there's so much happening with this World Environment Day. I don't know if we can do it that fast, but give us the information anyway.
All right, we'll do.
Thank you so much.
Oh, our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
All right. So, yeah, you're listening to San Francisco Indie Bay Radio.
Right to be defended as a person who has rights. Thank you.
Great, yeah.
Okay, want to move. This is Pam Africa asking you to continue your support for independent media. And one thing about independent media, it's about you. It's not about the government. It exposes the government. People be talking about law. It exposes the outlaw. Be real. Tune in to independent media. Pam Africa on the move.
Ready? One. One, two.